COVID has little, if anything, to do with SARS-CoV-2. It's a cover-up of XMRVs. It's clear all of these diseases are acquired immune deficiencies from mouse, monkey, and all kinds of viruses transmitted into humans via contaminated vaccines and a heavily contaminated blood supply.
Welcome to The Last American Vagabond. Joining me today is someone you're all very familiar with, and that's in large part due to the unjust suppression and censorship of her work and her efforts to expose the truth. And this speaks, as I see it, to the overwhelming desire for the unvarnished truth that's bubbling up in the masses as we speak. They now seek out exactly what they're told not to look at a level never before seen. We all at some level out there feel what a dangerous path we're on right now. We all feel to one degree or another the dishonesty, the lies, the tyrannical pressure building in our lives at this very moment. And this is why we're not just thirsty for, but bone dry, parched, and burning for the truth at this moment. So I'm honored to be yet again speaking with researcher, scientist, and medical professional, Dr. Judy Mikovits, who has made it her life mission to fight for the truth. Thank you so much for being here, Dr. Mikovits.
Thanks, Ryan. It's a pleasure to be on The Last American Vagabond again.
Yeah, it was great. That was one of the first discussions that I had with this whole thing was with you and Dr. Buttar on the round table. And it's, of course, that's been entirely censored along with everything else around this discussion. So to start off today, can you briefly go over for us what you've discussed in the past? Because you've done a lot of interviews on this, but it's important for people to understand how this plays in regard to Fauci and the NIH, yourself, the suppression of your findings, the attacks on you, and really how that shaped the research at the time, as well as into today and what we're dealing with.
Yeah, exactly. So basically the entire thesis of the discussion of our book, Plague of Corruption, which is now a New York Times bestseller, which came out April 14th of 2020 of this year. It may have been before that first conversation or just after that first conversation we have, but Plague of Corruption literally reads like prophecy of COVID-19. So here it looks like we predicted in every chapter what the government was planning to do beyond our wildest imagination that they could get away with this plandemic. And in fact, the movie Plandemic, part one, which first debuted on May 4th of this year, was actually supposed to be a promotional video of Plague of Corruption. It was just going to be a promotion for that book because nobody in the world had heard the term COVID-19 on, you know, really October 13th was the highlight for me, October 13th of 2019. On or about, I gave a talk at The Truth About Cancer. And what they had asked me to discuss was cover-up, was persecution and cover-up. And in order to do that talk, all I really did was search sciencemag.org, Cohen and Mikovits, and you can walk through the fake news media and how Tony Fauci, who was named in our book, our first book, Plague, which was first published in November of 2014. Right there's a chapter there that says who and why. And that was slide 5 of the talk that I gave at The Truth About Cancer in October of 2019. And the who and why was the invitation only meeting. That's chapter 7 or 8 of our book Plague, and it was July 22nd, 2009. And at that time, we had submitted on May 6th our paper to science. science of the characterization, the isolation, first ever isolation and characterization of a new family of disease-causing human retroviruses. That is AIDS-like viruses, HIV, deadly viruses from that stay with your families for generations because retroviruses integrate into your DNA and stay there, can be transmitted vertically as well as horizontally to the children. So the who and why in that picture, in that slide, we see Tony Fauci with Harold Varmus, Nobel laureate Harold Varmus, who was the, at the time in 2009, the NIH director. He's the gentleman standing to the left of Hillary. The other two, they were at what I called at the time and still do, the NIH Criminal Center. That's right there on the NIH campus. You see next to Tony Fauci, of course, Hillary Clinton. You're not, now, this picture was 2011. She's Secretary of State. What is she doing at the NIH Criminal Center? And then and to Tony Fauci's immediate left is the NIH Director, Francis Collins. And we and all three of these men, who we politely refer to as the Unholy Trinity, were involved in the cover-up of the what were called XMRVs, xeno because it's foreign. It was from mouse tissue, but it wasn't in mouse. It was in humans, isolated from humans with aggressive prostate cancers, leukemia, lymphoma, ITP. And of course, the big nail in the coffin for my career was we associated it with myalgic encephalomyelitis, which Tony Fauci had all the way back in 1980s in with my first, and I did not know this at the time. I did not know this till I first saw chronic fatigue syndrome, you know, and chronic fatigue syndrome is the subject of, you know, Peter Duisberg's work, Charles Ortlieb's work, the AIDS activists at the time. And so the problem with chronic fatigue syndrome, and Bobby Kennedy Jr. does a fabulous job of describing this in the foreword of our book, Plague of Corruption, so we don't need to belabor that. But the big cover-up is there are other retrovirus families causing similar immunological deficiencies, acquired immune deficiencies, AIDS-causing viruses in the blood supply and almost certainly entered humans through contaminated vaccines. And in our book, we showed in our first book, Plague, chapter 5 shows you the first cases of autism and ME/CFS going all the way back to the polio vaccines in the 1930s. So the who and why of this chapter was when the government saw our data at the level of the National Centers for Cancer Research, they called, it wasn't just our data, but several other investigators, the investigators who first described the presence of sequences of this virus, not in isolation, in prostate cancer. And that bears extremely heavily on the events of today, but also on the, with autism, ME/CFS, and this was the big oh my god. So in that July 22nd invitation only workshop, we showed children, we showed cancers, we showed neuroimmune disease, we showed bleeding disorders, ITP, and that ITP is on the Merck package insert of a risk factor for MMR vaccine. We had no idea on July 22nd, 2009, but the government called a secret invitation only meeting to look at the data. And you can see in the insert, and this is detailed in both of our books, you can see that they were concerned because the negative controls in our paper, the so-called healthy people with evidence of XMRV infection, a new family of contagious contagious was what we found in that July 22nd invitation only. What was happening? The lab workers were seroconverting. The lab workers were testing positive in a PCR test. Sound familiar? Asymptomatic carriers, COVID-19. The virus had never, XMRV had never been sequenced or isolated. It had only been a PCR, and then it was cloned in the laboratory where the virus was clearly the wrong sequence. The test for the detection, the serology test, was patented by Abbott. So we can start bringing in Abbott, Tony Fauci, all the way back to HIV/AIDS. And the big kicker is the blood supply was heavily contaminated. 4% in every study. Ours was the lowest, most conservative in that science paper published 4 months later. October 8th of 2009. So the government knew for 4 months that our data were right and true. We shared every single sample. We gave them the patients. We sent the patients to NIH, a number of the most diverse diseases and diverse strains of the virus, to NIH. They took all the samples, and they began at that time, as soon as they realized the gravity that these viruses in 2010, when Harvey Alter, now Nobel laureate Harvey Alter, then Lasker Award winner, when his laboratory published a confirmatory study, which is also in that slide deck, which I have no problem if you post. The confirmatory study was from samples taken in the 80s and 90s and put in a box in the freezer and called non-HIV/AIDS, because it was women, it was children with chronic fatigue syndrome, it was lab workers, it was doctors, it was nurses, it was surgeons, it was nosocomial spread, and it was clear by March of 29th of 2011, when I gave a talk on it, it was clear that the blood supply had been heavily contaminated for 30 years, because Tony Fauci said these women were crazy. Tony Fauci moved chronic fatigue syndrome out of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Disease into the National Institute of Mental Health. Now it's in the National Institute of Neurological Disease and Stroke, with Alzheimer's disease, with multiple sclerosis, and it's clear all of these diseases are acquired immune deficiencies from mouse, monkey, and all kinds of viruses transmitted into humans via contaminated vaccines and a heavily contaminated blood supply.
It's incredibly alarming. This stuff is incredibly alarming. It's very obvious why this is the stuff that they really don't want people to hear about. And it's, I think, very clearly what's happening today with COVID-19, as you were sort of touching on there, in addition to that, is vindicating a lot of what you were talking about, a lot of this stuff that's been disparaged from the past. And it's, I love some of those connections you made with COVID-19. It's very, very obvious. Now, in the interest of time, since I know we're limited, you had mentioned some emails that Judicial Watch came out with in regard to Fauci. I'm going to go ahead and leave that for another day for us to discuss. I will definitely probably talk about that in my show in this coming days, but that's something that Judy shared with me before we went live. But it's a very interesting discussion. But what I wanted to ask you in regard to that, because I think the point is, it's very clear that these emails are just elaborating on some of the things that we're talking about now and some of the criminal activity and working with the WHO in regard to China specifically. It's very interesting. But yeah, if you can make some comments on that if you'd like, but I'd like to not to get bogged down in that too far. Did you have anything you wanted to note on that?
I just wanted to corroborate that, because in the case of the XMRVs, Tony Fauci was always back here. He wasn't at that meeting I showed you in the entire attendee list. So he's the puppet pretending like he has nothing to do with it. And yet he, with Tony Fauci, I mean, with Francis Collins and Harold Varmus, are behind the scenes puppeting and covering up with the journal Science, and covering up everything in the Washington Post, in the New York Times. They're spinning this story to make it go away. And with the confirmatory study that was done in 11 and 12, And in 11 and 12, it becomes very important. Everything happened in 2011. Why? Because the confirmatory study showed we had a really big problem. And so Tony Fauci emailed Frank Rossetti. Tony Fauci was copied on the emails that said I couldn't participate in the confirmatory study, and yet I was portrayed in press conferences as saying it wasn't there. Well, what was the it? The it was the synthetic VP62, and yes, it goes right back to, so this infectious molecular clone was transmitted in Vero monkey kidney cells, in polio vaccines, along with many strains of poliovirus, of XMRVs, at least five different strains, as our original paper showed. It wasn't one new virus, how many old diseases? It was how many new viruses have we created in our laboratories and directly injected into humans. And it weighs exactly on COVID-19, because I also sent you the paper that Dr. Yan sent out last week from October of 2011. Oh, I'm fired on September 29th. My lab is locked down. Two offices within seconds from Harry Reid. Who was Harry Reid? He was the Senate Majority Leader. Harvey Whittemore, who was the owner of my institute, is now convicted felon for illegally having Harry Reid elected the last time. So you can go 2008, 2010, so you could 10, you can go through the plague of corruption and see how Tony Fauci paid off, confirmed in emails with his granting agencies, forgave the Whittemores for misappropriation of federal funds, and many others. And they're still getting tens of millions of dollars of grants, just like Ian Lipkin, the paid whore, Dr. Ian Lipkin, who's been in the news. Oh, he's got COVID. Well, of course he has, because you were working with the XMRVs, and COVID has little, if anything, to do with SARS-CoV-2. It's a cover-up of XMRVs. Right there in Dr. Yan's paper, in the supplemental materials, are the sequences of those strains. What are the PCR tests picking up right now? Gamma retroviruses and coronaviruses and HIV, and that's the engineering. And it came out of the labs. It came out of the contaminated Vero monkey kidney cells, as everyone has said, and they've done this cover-up of the data literally since, July 22nd, 2009, the cover up by the government began. And Tony Fauci is the one that had me arrested. It was a federal agency. When I went to NIH, it says felony fugitive from justice. So they covered up the crimes and made the data go away, just as they fabricated SARS-CoV-2 as a causative agent of COVID-19. It is not.
It seems very clear, I think, to anybody even barely paying attention, that there's something, this whole thing is an illusion. Now, that's, I think anybody can see that. We'll get more into this in a minute with the numbers and all this different stuff. And there's so many reasons why we have questions with this. And to what you're saying right there seems to answer those questions, right? The idea that this is just something that they've done before, they're doing again. And a lot of people have made similar claims. And it's interesting that we're not allowed to have these discussions. Now, before we get into more stuff, I wanted to ask you something, because it's so clear why they're afraid of what you're saying. So I wanted to ask you something, because there's been so much going on, a lot of attacks and things in the past, knowing what's happened to you in the past. Are you right now under any duress or experiencing any threats for speaking out again?
I've absolutely experienced threats and death threats. And I've absolutely, been put under duress in that I'm not allowed on flights. Our book, The Case Against the Masks, which came out in August, has been heavily censored. I can't buy that New York Times bestseller, Plague of Corruption. I can't travel to meetings to show the movie Plandemic, to talk about anything. I'm currently in a hotel room, as I will not be deterred. So I literally drove to Health Freedom Idaho conferences from October 14th through the 17th. 2019. So I don't consider it duress because, you know, I'm here to tell this truth. And as you probably know, I'm a Christian. So it's like, hey, you know, there's only one authority over me in this land, and that's God. And I reiterated that I showed an email in its entirety on page 90 of Plague of Corruption that I wrote to the head of the National Heart, Lung, and Blood Institute on August 31st, 2011, when they were trying to perpetrate this fraud against the ME/CFS community and say that, you know, that study was, is the blood supply contaminated? And do we have a test to detect the virus? And the answer to the first question was heavily yes, 10% of the blood supply on March 29th of 2011. So because these women have been considered crazy for 30 years by Tony Fauci, not sick, they give blood, they have children, they transmit the virus within their family on glasses exactly the way COVID-19 is. And if they wear a mask, they literally activate the dormant viruses and recombine them again and again and kill themselves. So the masks are killing the XMRV infected. The flu shots, which also have gamma retroviruses contaminating and coronaviruses contaminated, when the people with the XMRVs, 4 to 6% of America, Harvey Alter's study showed 6.6% of the controls, and it was New York City, it was San Francisco. It was the original AIDS outbreak. And where are we seeing what they're calling long haul COVID? You know, just keep changing the name so we're all stupid, Tony Fauci. It's ME/CFS, and it's been associated with retroviruses, including the XMRVs and HIVs and Delta for 4 decades. And you can't get this.
In regard to the isolated discussion, because this is a really important one that I know that you have opinions on that I think we all should. And it's been one that's been one of the most suppressed parts of this discussion, I think, because there's more, at least two examples I can find of them admitting that this hasn't been isolated. So what are your thoughts in regard to this virus supposedly being isolated? And ultimately, you know, really the more pointed question would be, has it been isolated in patients or just basically seen in a lab culture and then patented by this biosecurity state?
Correct. It has not been isolated and characterized and sequenced in its entirety from patients. That's what Dr. Yan said. But from the Vero monkey kidney cells, remember, we make our polio vaccines in Vero monkey kidney cells. It's a continuous cell line. It's a manufacturing plant for viruses. We made Ebola there. We've done the XMRVs have heavily contaminated them for 30 years. It's been isolated from them, but the sequence in a monkey cell is not the sequence in a human. And Dr. Yan showed last week, they admitted they made the synthetic sequence. Literally, they pull the pieces from the PCR and they do things called genome walking, where they take lab enzymes and then finish the sequence and add more primer pairs. But in nature, these viruses don't have what's called editing function. They can't fix the typos. Can't fix the typos. So what do? They make a new strain all the time. What's wrong with Vero monkey kidney cells? Why is it such a great manufacturing plant of these viruses, these RNA viruses? Because it lacks type 1 interferon. So it can't stop the virus from becoming a particle. So these PCR tests are testing only 10%. And because your audience is wise and they understand the story of XMRVs, that was VP62. So VP62, that means virus prostate cancer number 62 was the patient. And what we described in detail, this Frankenstein virus never existed in nature, because what Bob Silverman did, and he was the co-author on our paper, who was the one who committed fraud and kept this information for us, is he made that clone, infectious molecular lab clone, from 3 different patient isolates. with no editing and repair functions, like those three different patients almost certainly had different strains of viruses because we have type 1 interferon pathways. The patients that get the viruses are crippled in their immune responses. They're compromised. That's what Bob's paper said. They lacked a type 1 interferon pathway gene function called RNA cell. What was wrong with the little black boys in the Thompson study? Why are little black boys more susceptible to getting autism and disease if given MMR before they're 3 years old? Ah, they lack the editing function of RNA cell. So do the women and men with more aggressive prostate cancers. And we did this work in the 90s when I was the chief of the Lab of Antiviral Drug Mechanisms. We were trying to understand why AIDS patients got more aggressive cancers. And we identified the immune pathways that they do. So VP62 is what SARS-CoV-2 is. Never isolated from a patient with the disease and shown to be infectious and transmittable and causative of the disease in another person. This is exactly what our paper did. And one member of the National Academy of Sciences who was in that invitation-only meeting and reviewed that work said it was the best ever first isolation and characterization of a new family of human retroviruses. There were many strains. There always were. Harvey Alter's team confirmed it 6 months later. And that's when the attacks begin. Oh no, we created this nightmare. And how many people is 6.6% of America? Yeah.
A lot.
20 to 25 million Americans. What was HIV at the height of AIDS in 1991? 1 million Americans. A disease able to affect the economy of nations. Where did we do one of our blinded confirmatory studies that was presented at the invitation-only workshop in 2010, where Francis Collins ordered more study? We did it in the UK. We did it in London. Where did we get the controls, which was the only question he asked in the entire meeting? The blood supply of London. What was the data? 4%. So we universally have a huge problem. Where is the biggest plague of corruption against ME/CFS patients, against these people who were injured? London, Ireland. Ireland, they have other genetic differences that make them more susceptible. We did many, many studies and showed the different strains of the people who were susceptible. And we show this in our book. So it's clear that the virus has never been isolated. They're doing the exact same thing that with the PCR testing was never used. Remember when it was never used.
Let me ask you a quick question. If you could give me a brief answer on your opinion of other perspectives in this regard held by people such as Dr. Kaufman, who seemingly challenged the entire theory, idea of germ theory. Do you have any just kind of quick takes on that versus what we're talking about?
Andy Kaufman and I don't disagree. We did an interesting show a few months ago, probably right after you and I talked. Mm-hmm. So the idea of exosomes and what those electron micrographs showed, he's correct. They showed a bunch of cells blowing apart, surrounded debris. Well, a virus, an envelope virus, buds out of your cell. So the virus encodes, has only an mRNA. Just a piece of sequence, your blueprint for how to make the virus. But it's an obligate parasite, so your cells are forming the envelope. And so you have those spike proteins that the virus mRNA encodes and translates, and those are popped into the envelope, but it is human cellular material, cholesterol membrane material that buds out of the cell. So in those electron micrographs, they do not ever show you a budding particle as we showed in our papers. So I agree with them exactly. Exosomes are when pieces of RNA and DNA that, and micro RNA, as we now know, is regulatory and a communication factory for our cells. Well, RNA that's in your bloodstream is a danger signal and will start an inflammatory process. And what is the disease? The disease is the inflammatory process. It's not the infection. It's what happens. Why can AIDS patients walk around today? We have millions of people worldwide because they do pre-exposure prophylaxis, PrEP. Oh, you know, we just took all the terms. So they can buy the drugs, and yet the NIH and Tony Fauci has denied the children with autism, just the people with ME/CFS, with cancers associated with these retrovirus, with multiple sclerosis, Alzheimer's disease, Parkinson's disease, Lyme's disease. What has he done? The same thing. Oh, you can't use hydroxychloroquine, a 70-year-old WHO essential medicine. Well, in 2000, after our work came out, they said you can't use Suramin, the 100-year-old essential medicine of the WHO that Bayer owns, no patent on 100-year-old drug for African sleeping sickness. Oh, does African sleeping sickness sound a bit like chronic fatigue syndrome? You know, and again, so who stopped the studies? You know, so it's like the FDA, it's the at the top, all the who and why, who stop you from using the drug. Why? Because when you have a treatment, you know the cause. So Andy Kaufman's exactly right, because they didn't show the data. But I also agree with John Rappaport all the way back to HIV. Again, HIV was isolated from a few people by Luc Montagnier from the earliest patients who were, and we confirmed that work, much like Harvey Alter's team confirmed ours. I was the technician on Frank Rossetti's team that confirmed from the exact same patients. This is what you have to do to be a true confirmatory study, because anybody with another disease almost certainly has a different strain or a different immune pathway destruction that we don't understand, the genetic or epigenetic susceptibility. So from the same patients, the airline flight attendant from Paris and several of the other of the initial AIDS patients, we did isolate and do the electron micrograph, confirm from saliva, from blood, Luc Montagnier's work. And so that was the confirmatory study. But what did Tony Fauci and Bob Gallo do in the 80s? Oh, they're like, no, it wasn't that virus. Look over here. So this is why Mickey Willis in Plandemic Indoctrination was just brilliant. Everybody saying, oh, look over at this coronavirus. It's a common cold. It doesn't cause coagulopathies. It doesn't go neuro on you. They don't get into the brain, but XMRVs do. HIVs do. And so the little look over here, we got some HIV sequences. That means the envelope, this spike, can infect white blood cells. So that's a gain of function, as we've discussed. So the GP41 is transmembrane, the envelope. So how the virus, what it encodes, what buds out of that cell. Most of the viral particle is human cellular material, because that's what viruses do. The provirus is just a piece of RNA, DNA, or DNA sitting in your cells, waiting for the immune activation event to divide your cells and replicate it from your cellular machinery.
And the gain of function being there in general is an obvious example of manipulation, right? I'm going to ask you some questions about that in a moment. I wanted to ask you about, stemming from the isolation discussion, You touched on PCR tests, and I think this is a really important point for people out there right now trying to make sense of all of this. They're currently using the PCR test ubiquitously around the world for COVID-19 specifically, despite a very high prevalence of documented false positive results. And to your point, you were just basically explaining part of that and why. So what do you see as being the most effective test, let's say, for determining if someone is infected with a virus, and why is that not what's being used right now?
Well, I would use serology testing, meaning do you make an antibody? And then I would back that up with functional immune testing, that part of your immune system is being damaged, that you have functional T cells. And so it's really a functional assay. And so if you have a piece of that virus in a PCR test, remember, it's only 10%. And in order to get the whole virus, they take it into the laboratory and they use an enzyme, again, with no editing function, that just right. And it's a Frankenstein virus, just like VP62. And so it was Bob Silverman who lied and said that was the sequence of our virus. We only sent samples one way. And then they said my lab was contaminated. No, the blood supply was never contaminated with VP62. It was contaminated with lots of mouse and monkey viruses. So in the PCR test, you know, this is a case-demic, as the term that everybody's used. They're not cases. Those men with the prostate cancer from Bob Silverman's first paper, the women, the military, the blacks, the children, if they just have those sequences in their DNA, and that isn't immune activated, expressed, made into a viral particle. Proteins are what are measured by antibodies. The viral envelope protein, not a sequence, that's not a virus. It's not infectious, it's not transmissible as a sequence in your DNA. That it's only a virus particle you would isolate from your saliva. And so that would be a protein test. That would be either serology tests for IgG or IgM. But we understand people don't necessarily make antibodies to some of these viruses. So you would look for a T cell response. You would look for an adaptive response. And you can do both of those right now as functional tests. Do you make type 1 interferon? Do you make those proteins to degrade the virus? That's a true infection. That's a true infection. Did it see your immune cell? Not do we have a piece of RNA in our nose. We have millions of pieces of RNA in our nose and mouth, which never become a virus unless you wear a mask and immune deplete yourself, unless you get a flu shot and activate the immune system and cause the replication of the proviruses that are all just waiting to make new viruses. Immune activation, that's the intention of every vaccine. And it's clear that the flu shot and the masks are. So for instance, a paper came out last week, 80% of the people testing PCR positive. That means expression, because this is an RNA virus. So you have to have expression. So 80% of the PCR people testing PCR positive wear masks most of the time or all the time. Mm-hmm. And all the cases, but those still aren't viruses. Those still aren't cases. So the people that never wear a mask don't test positive. Why? We don't suppress our immune system. We have CD4 immunity in our mouth. We have type 1 interferon in our mouth. What Vero monkey kidney cells don't have. See, all of this is just simply molecular biology, but they get away with it because people don't know.
Right.
And so people like Dr. Kaufman and Dr. and Charles Ortlieb, millions of people who lived this with the XMRVs and with the Delta retroviruses, that we weren't the first to associate a virus with MECFS, but all of the careers of all of the people who ever tried to fight this were destroyed by Tony Fauci.
And it's so frustrating to you, to what you said at the end, that these are people that are like bleeding about trusting the science when they're not actually even pointing. They want you to trust what they tell you is the science, where people like us that are pointing to science, like in regard to the mask discussion, where I'm going over scientific studies and being censored for it. It's so obvious how it's almost the reverse of what they're claiming. But speaking of the PCR tests and their unreliability, as you wrote, it, quote, in 2010, XMRV-related viruses were found in 86% of patients with chronic fatigue syndrome and only 6.8% of healthy controls, as you were touching on earlier. Now, this clear and important relationship was attacked and suppressed, as many have heard. Can you briefly note on that situation that you maybe haven't touched on yet, and how a virus culture test was done at the time to reach those findings, not a PCR test, and how those findings were attacked, while findings of PCR tests today, with their obvious false positives, are simply not allowed to be questioned?
Right. And so, yeah, the false positive. So PCR was part of the testing. That was what the original discoverers of this virus, they identified only sequences in men with aggressive prostate cancer with a RNA-SLR462Q mutation. I'll say that for fun. At any rate, so in only the immune compromised, in only the susceptible, you know, and so PCR testing was what Harvey Alter did. But what we did, because We're us, because it's Frank Rossetti, the father of human retroviruses, because we are the ones who first isolated and confirmed Luc Montagnier's work, because this is what I grew up doing from 1983, June 6, 1983, it was D-Day, on was isolating retroviruses and understanding who's susceptible to getting disease. So our paper isolated them. Yes, we use PCR as a guide. But we use proteins. You have to make the proteins. The entire rest of the paper, other than what was partially retracted because it was clear from the beginning, but Bob Silverman insisted the PCR be in the test because he was be in the paper because he was conflicted. He had the patent along with Abbott. So we weren't the first to describe it, but we were the first to isolate it, and our work proved him wrong. And so that meant the patent was owned by Judy Mikovits and Frank Rossetti and nobody else. And the National Cancer Institute, if you're Frank Rossetti, theoretically my institute, if you're me, but I didn't have a written contract with my institute. I made these discoveries before anything. And so that's why when they jailed me and locked down my lab, they fabricated a contract. And they said, I stole intellectual property. And that's why in our book, we said, hey, she stole her own brain. You know, and anybody that reads that, that's why they silenced the whole thing. This really is about money. And so, again, this was the fraud in the beginning. So we did the isolation. We showed the EMs, not from one person, but from people worldwide. We confirmed it in many blinded studies using all three techniques, using PCR, confirming it with a protein. That's what we need to be doing with every one of these PCR tests. Show the antibody. We had a serology test, which was a conformational epitope. It wasn't a sequence epitope. And so that our paper showed all of that. But you see, when you test the blood supply, you can't afford isolation. You can't afford anything but a PCR test. So what they did in testing the blood supply in that fraudulent paper, which was published in that the subject of that page 90 email I wrote to the National Institute of Heart, Lung, and Blood. Then the director was Simone Glenn. She should be in jail for fraud. So should for commission fraud. So should Michael Bush, who's at the Blood Systems Research Institute in California. This is our blood supply. The blood supply was absolutely contaminated and confirmed by more than one blinded study. But what they did is they turned the paper that was published on or about September 22nd, first online of 2011, as a failure to confirm the association of XMRV with CFS. That's fraud. The paper should have been, we don't have a test. Because the PCR doesn't detect every strain, because there are many, many strains. And oh, we got a big problem for which the government is liable, just as they were when Ryan White and Arthur Ashe got HIV. And we realized it was transmitted through a contaminated blood supply. But now they have a bigger problem, because when you inject the provirus in a vaccine, in your polio vaccines, in the immune compromise, what didn't those little black boys have? Oh, a developed RNA cell pathway. Oh, a developed detox pathway. Have to wait till they're 3 years old. Well, the relative risk goes down from 4.4-fold to 2-fold. The relative risk in black boys goes down to white boys, which is bad. It's still twofold. It's still highly significant that MMR is associated with autism and neuroimmune diseases. But all they had to do was wait till black boys were 3 years old. And what did they do? They covered it up since 2001 and destroyed Andy Wakefield. So do Black Lives Matter? No, they don't. Does Tony Fauci have? No. No, they don't. Because you deliberately killed the black families and you know it.
One of the things that really stands out to me there is how clearly there are overlaps between what you're talking about then and what they're doing now, including using the PCR test as a way to make it seem like things are solid, but really knowing they should be doing a more the larger breadth of their testing. It's just, it's the corruption is very, very apparent. But let's take this into vaccines, seeing as how that's obviously a huge part of this agenda. So first of all, what are your thoughts on vaccines, I guess, as a science in general and what they put in them today, what's I think a lot of people have issues with, and maybe you could clarify or make your comments on, and then how would one of these current genetically modifying COVID-19 vaccines actually work for people to understand?
Well, the first thing is they don't actually put it in them. The manufacturing plant for most of the live viral vaccines are our cells. We have to grow viruses in a host cell. So all these animal tissues. So because of the 1986 Act, because all liability was removed, they don't clean them up. Hmm. They don't have to make them better. They don't have to make them safer.
That's horrifying.
So what was our big problem, and why is 2011 a big deal? And I would encourage your audience to watch the movie 1986, theact.com is where you can stream it live from 1986, The Act, because it goes in great detail into this cover up. And so one of the problems with the Act is if there was a manufacturing defect and you could make the vaccine safer, then pharmaceutical companies and the federal government is liable. What did Judy Mikovits and our work with XMRV prove by 2011? That mixing animal human tissue and injecting the blueprint, injecting mRNA, injecting DNA, injecting nucleic acid and proteins from other animals, you're literally into the immune compromised. You're literally making them a virus factory. What's the manufacturing defect? The factory to manufacture a live viral vaccine. Our animal cells are continuously growing cancer cells. And I think Bobby Kennedy does the best job for your audience in the forward. He shows all the vaccines, the shingles vaccines. He shows, you know, varicella. He shows how different investigators over the years have shown that these are incredibly dangerous if you inject the genetic material, the DNA, RNA, and protein of other animals directly into the bloodstream. That's not how we see the virus, is it? We see it by inhaling a few particles, if they're even made, because of all the enzymes in our nasal pharyngeal. I can't even figure out how to sneeze hard enough to get that RNA out when they put that Twinkie or what that Q-tip up my nose. I can't figure that out. I've tried to get a loogie going. I just, you know, and I'm infected with the XMRVs. They loaded up the lab workers. That's the oh my God in chapter 8. All those sequences we saw since the 80s were real. Sequences aren't viruses. So the big cover-up. COVID-19 is a cover-up of 40 years of doing this to people. So no vaccines ever. No vaccines ever again until they clean them up. We can make a safe one, but there's no incentive. And that's what happened in 2011. So when we discovered the manufacturing defect, not just one vaccine, but all the vaccines, that these things are causing chronic disease, AIDS, cancer, the nightmare of illness in our country. And they'd have to stop doing it, and they become liable. So what did they do? The Bruchowitz decision. And we have a chapter on the corruption in vaccine court, as it's called, the corruption in the National Vaccine Injury Compensation Program that comes from the highest levels of the government, including Tony Fauci and NIAID. So you can follow the money in that one. We detail and show the corruption there. So this is the problem. So if people don't wake up, don't take off the mask, don't refuse a vaccine, don't insist on all the data. You know, I've called Tony Fauci, hey, debate me. I've got all the data, and all you show are the models, and all you do is lie, and all you do is censor me, and you say, oh yeah, I don't care what you say in the Washington Post. Oh yeah, she stole that stuff back in 2011. No, you know that, you know you paid off. You paid off the criminal Whittemores. They're still getting the grants. Hey, I got a statement from them. I got a quote from them. You're paying people who misappropriated federal funds. And what did the Science Journal do on September 1st, 2011? When that corrupt paper, false positive, with a thing blaming us, blaming the Institute, threatening them with jail. Why is it not false positive now? It's the same argument, folks. So right. This is where our news media and is part and parcel. And this plague of corruption, I think everybody saw clearly with the brilliant Dr. David Martin and Tony Fauci's involvement in Indoctrination Part 2. I had no idea. You know, if we know, I'm not sure if I'd be quite so brave if I knew how evil this was right. from the beginning.
Well, the big part of this for me, which is something that you have real world experience in, is this discussion of gain of function and how this is something that's being done now. And as you said a moment ago, that the idea that with what we know, that this should be, we shouldn't be allowing anything new to be happening, knowing what you just laid out for us. So do you think that BSL-4 Labs, which is, as you maybe can explain, the level of the severity of what they're dealing with, should be allowed to increase the lethality of a virus using the gain of function? Should that be something that's just off the table today? Or you know, do you think it should be allowed, or should it be something in the line of chemical weapons, the way that they treat those today?
I think it should be all off the table right now, and not just BSL-4, but biosafety level 3. And really, we know now these aren't safe. So one of the things in that chapter of oh my God, we can't afford to protect the lab workers from the invitation only meeting is they just downgrade the virus and say unintentional spread of a biosafety level 2 virus. No, they're not biosafety level 2 if the lab workers and the animal caretakers who work with mice. So this is the big problem. It's not just vaccines. It's all our biologics. There isn't a university campus anywhere that doesn't have a mouse facility, that doesn't, you know, we don't work with monkeys, they're too expensive. But yeah, all of these labs should be shut down. All of this practice should be shut down, because gain of function is when something wouldn't happen in nature.
Right.
You know, so that's why they are trying so hard to make us feel it's happening. No, it's not.
Right. Increase the severity, the virulence, the contagious aspect of it. Right. So, I mean, at this, why do they do these? What's the argument that they're making even today? If it's supposed to defend against future outbreaks, which is all we get, that's why we do the gain of function, we're told, is to defend against future things, and it's supposed to help us be prepared. Why are we never prepared or able to fight these, at least as we're sold in the narrative, right? What do you think their argument is for that?
Well, I mean, the argument is we have a really big problem. So who are the first people to die with the mRNA vaccine? Who are the first people to die with a flu shot? The people you've already injured. And are you going to do autopsies and isolate the virus like we did? No, you're not. You've already proved that. You're going to autoclave them. That's what we do. You're going to burn them. You're going to cremate them. That's what we do in biosafety level 3 and 4 facilities. We're going to burn them in big pits and make it think it's because they're not transmitting. Well, why aren't they transmitting? And what do we know about this SARS-CoV-2, even with the gain of function? Hey, when they get into humans, The healthy ones have the interferon pathways. The healthy ones degrade them. The healthy ones have glutathione. The healthy ones have adapted T cell responses. 99.8% of the people don't get sick at all, and the virus is gone. That's why the 8% of our genome is a virome that is unexpressed viruses, because our immune system cripples them. Because we're wonderfully and fearfully made. This is the common cold. We make a very quick immune response when we see a virus. And so that's why people are healthy. They're not cases. They're healthy people. The virus is gone. The disease is gone. There is no disease. And only the compromised are going to die. And they're going to cover up that it ever was XMRVs, that it ever was vaccines, mouse, monkey, I don't care, mold. Think about the chronic Lyme disease. Oh, we're made to think just ticks. Oh, tick-borne diseases. No, you inject those in the animal cells just like you inject. Why do you think we use antibiotics and antimycotics when we test these in our laboratories, in these cell lines, in these cultures? Oh, because we can't grow all this other bacteria. And this is what Andy Kaufman said very clearly. You know, it's infection by injection, but it's coming from within. So that's why all we do is keep our immune system strong with vitamin C, vitamin A, zinc, hydroxychloroquine. Sure, we can use great drugs that we've developed over the years to protect the immune suppressed. But we don't. And that's, you know, the type 1 interferons have been taken out of our practice of veterinary medicine for 4 decades. The minute somebody finds out something works and it costs 50 cents to spray that in your nasal cavity, as I do every morning. And remember, I'm heavily infected with XMRVs. And that's the big hope, because we know how to fix it, buddy. And I'm not going to wear a mask because you didn't kill me. You've been trying to kill me for the last decade. And I'm not going to wear a mask, and I'm not going to get a shot. And that's what I'm trying to tell that 6.6% of America. Yeah, people are going to die, and they're going to be the ones they already injured. And that's why I talk.
So I know you're short on time to end here. I only have a few more questions I want to ask you, and I wanted to give you an opportunity to speak on, I mean, considering, and by the way, I've got 2 questions I wanted to ask after this from users that were interested in getting your take, some people that were very excited to see you were going to be on the show again. Considering COVID, the severity debacle, right? The lies around what we've already kind of touched on, the falsified numbers, false positive, doctored death records, financial incentives. It seems pretty clear this is not what they made it out to be. And when we first met on the round table in the beginning of all this, you made very clear statements about the issues with the way that they were using masks. And I found it so interesting that was at least as long as this whole thing seems to be, every day seems like a year, such a long time ago now, since you've been heavily censored, essentially removing your voice, not allowing you to even speak out in defense of yourself. Do you feel in a way vindicated now on the topic of masks as well as a lot of this other stuff?
Well, no, we published the book, Case Against the Mask, 10 Reasons Why Mask Use Should Be Limited, August 18th. And so it's been heavily censored. Even bookstores won't allow you to buy it and put it on the shelf. And we're now New York Times bestselling authors from Plague of Corruption. And it's being censored from everybody. I can't even buy it. I'm allowed to buy 1 copy or 4 copies from Amazon. And they use just different search terms so that it ends up just saying I'm this bad person. So no, actually I won't feel vindicated until every person in America takes off that mask and burns it, because it's contaminated. It's a biohazard. It's making you sick. So it's making you sick. My mask makes me sick. Your mask makes you sick. And nobody's mask is doing anything except spread COVID-19 2021. So when we take off that mask, when we refuse ever, because these viruses have been injected into most of us. Anybody that, you know, I'm the flu shot. You know, they know the data from the Wolf study and others. Mm-hmm. The flu shot drives the disease. The flu shot makes you 36% more likely to get a coronavirus infection that seeds. Because what are you doing when you go after the influenza? Oh, you're using up that type 1 interferon, that glutathione. Mm-hmm. And what do you do when you get a flu shot and wear a mask? You immune suppress even further, so that you're just a walking bag of virus, and all of a sudden you get a sore throat, and all of a sudden you get a headache, and then they put that Q-tip up in your nose and break your blood-brain barrier and spread meningitis, and God only knows what, because it's not sterile either. So not being hated until people wake up.
Absolutely. The real world data is clearly showing this. If there's any audience out there, I argue today, my audience is what we've been screaming about the mask studies forever. So they're nodding along with you right now. We all know this stuff because their studies actually showed that before. But please let me know if you're short on time and have to go. I have 2 questions from some users that were very interested to hear your take on a couple things that I would be interested in.
12:30, so I got about another 20 minutes.
Okay, fantastic. So one of the ones that I got a lot from people, and this is also something that I find very interesting, is they wanted to know what, in your mind, how you see what's causing the oxygen loss with the respiratory problems, and why are ventilators killing people?
So the oxygen loss, the mask depletes your oxygen. It's very clear, 21% in, 16% out. That oxygen, our metabolic processes, it uses it for every process in our body. We know that the viruses, and that's mitochondria. Remember, that's what makes our ATP and our energy. So mitochondria, viruses go after mitochondria. And so viruses cripple cripple your ability to make energy. So the more infected you are with the latent viruses, once they're expressed, when you compromise, then your immune system has to turn all its attention over there and go here. So the ventilator, so what we should be doing, which is what we used to do, is we give oxygen. You put oxygen in your nose, in the plane, when the oxidative stress, when you're above the ozone layer, if the cabin loses pressure, you put on oxygen. You don't deplete your oxygen with a mask. Mm-hmm. So that's the important thing. And what the ventilator does is it, and you can do this in a pulsimeter on your finger and see how much oxygen is in your blood. And below a certain level, 90-some percent or so, I'm not a clinician, but the 80s, this is where you're at a level where you're hugely immune compromised. You okay, honey? It's okay, sweetie. And where you're hugely immune compromised. And so this is, putting the ventilator in literally paralyzes your lungs. It stops your breathing. And this is not the defect that people have. So they do so much damage in the process of stopping your natural breathing when all they really needed to do was put in a cannula or hyperbaric oxygen therapy or intracellular glutathione. So these are, and we've known this since the days of HIV/AIDS, and how these viruses cripple our mitochondria and our ability to make energy and oxygen. They're metabolic diseases.
It's just really frustrating how it seems, and this is my perception, but that every action they take is actually making all these things worse, right? And I think we need a note on that and ask whether that may be something that's intentional. One of the other questions that I'm getting from some of the users that wanted to hear your opinion, and this is something that I've talked about a lot in the beginning of all this, have you seen any indication since the COVID scandal began that there are genetically tailored viruses out there, tailored to maybe specific nations, which might explain the different levels of severity according to the narrative?
Well, I think they are genetically tailored already to people of color. We know that. We've known that for decades because, again, different. So consider, and then even people like from Sweden, Ireland, where you don't have a lot of sun, think about your vitamin D receptors. So vitamin D is so critical to 300 or more immune responses. So a person near the equator, people of color, have vitamin D receptors, polymorphisms, single nucleotide changes that make their receptors act like resistors. So one molecule looks like 0.0001 molecule because you don't want the flame to get too high in inflammation, in immune responses. Now, people from Sweden and from other parts of the world where it's dark half the year, their immune, their receptors, their vitamin D receptors act like amplifiers, and one molecule of sunlight acts like 1,000. This is how nature designed, and again, our microbiota, our indigenous. So for instance, when I go drink the water in Mexico, my gut bacteria give me diarrhea because I wasn't raised with that communication between my endogenous, my microbiome and what is in my environment. So our environment is critically important to the expression of our genes and the expression of these viruses. So as we pollute our environment, this is Stephanie Senef with glyphosate. So again, what is glyphosate doing but robbing you? That glycine with a phosphate molecule is critical to intracellular glutathione, your intracellular antioxidant. You don't want reactive oxygen and nitrogen species too high. So it's all a biochemistry. And yes, the intentional pollution of our soil. Our soil doesn't have minerals, so we're missing our zincs. So our food is GMO. Our food is contaminated. So all along the line, we see how certain population. So if you have to go to the grocery store and eat processed food with GMO instead of buying healthy food, this is the wonderful work of Dr. Zach Bush. Know your farmer, don't know your doctor. Who cares? Because it's how contaminated is your food, how contaminated is your water, how contaminated is your soil, and that becomes the health of your immune system and your endocannabinoid system. And of course, they took the most sacred plant, cannabis, out of our diets in the 1930s. So we've been getting more and more sicker and sicker because the endocannabinoid system is the dimmer switch on the immune system. It tells you the flames do high or low. It keeps you in balance. And that's, this is what we're losing.
That's so interesting to me. I've been writing about the endocannabinoid system and you know, cannabinoids in general for a long time. You mentioned, I forget was in your book or something else, but you mentioned in regard to mother's milk and how that's a very prominent aspect. I recommend people, I'll include some of my articles about that in the show notes as well as your discussions, because that's a huge, like the idea of such as cannabis being used in water to remove the heavy metals. I mean, these are things that are very, very relevant to where we are that are just removed from our knowledge, but leads to the last, one of my last questions here that I find is exactly what you were touching on right there. In your opinion, how long do you think this whole biosecurity state agenda has been in the works?
Well, I think the data show since 1934. I mean, that's chapter 5 of our first book, Plague. And of course, here in America, 40 years, they started in 1976. Remember the in-plandemic indoctrination? You go all the way back to when our media wasn't quite so corrupt. And they started, what was it, swine flu or bird flu? I forget which one, back in 1976. And where the vaccines injured so many. So what have we done? We've done Zika. We've done anthrax within, you know, we tacked anthrax onto 911 and blamed and killed an innocent scientist friend of ours from the national Fort Detrick, Bruce Ivins. I escaped that fate. I don't know if mine's any better the last decade, but this is what the systems tried to do. And I think this is what Bobby Kennedy does so well in that board. He shows you this has been going on since the 30s. And every time we get away with the we being the government, these evil people at the top who've been there since 1976, you know, we see these same people. It's not a political thing. It's not Fauci. It's not, you know, Fauci stands next to Obama with Zika and Ebola, you know, and Obama gives more and more money to the Chinese, and they see how far they can get away with, you know, they release Zika on the Brazilians, you know, on the poor at the same time they did a mosquito, a weaponized mosquito release and a DTP vaccination program. So on and on and on, I think we've seen this plague of corruption play out over the last four decades.
Yeah, and you've made that very clear. And I hope people will take the time to look into your work and your books. Sorry if I cut you off. I think we lost the connection. Well, just to finish it off here, if I still got you, just at the end, to leave us here, where do we go from here? Where do you see this going? What do you think we should be doing?
Well, really what we should be doing is really exactly what President Trump's been trying to do and worldwide. Open up our country, you know, close the FDA, close the CDC, end the plague of corruption that is our federal grant system and our scientific journals, you know, end the media, which is direct to consumer advertising of pharmaceuticals, kind of end the media corruption, put a 5-year moratorium on all vaccines. Now, every single vaccine, because what are we going to see? Take off the mask. Because what do we clean up our environment, clean up our soil, you know, stop the GMOs. You know, our food is not safe. GMOs cause cancer. It's very clear. Roundup causes cancer. Glyphosate causes all of these diseases, you know, is associated. You know, the more toxins in our world, the more susceptible you are to COVID-19. And the vaccine program, you know, because it's clearly not working, bring back natural medicine. If President Trump can right now end health insurance because it's sick insurance and it's bankrupting our country, to close all of the NIH, because our health and human services are killing our country, our economy. It's a third of our entire economy is health and human services. We could end all the damage COVID-19 has done tomorrow by closing it and starting over. Give every single American $500 a month for their own healthcare tax-free. I don't care if you spend it on clean food. I don't care if you spend it on cannabis, your naturopathic doctor, your acupuncturist, your chiropractor, whatever you do for health, bring back health freedom. Inform consent on everything.
Absolutely. And well said. I mean, there's so many things that need to be changed. Now, and I don't share necessarily, I question whether this is what ultimately will happen from this or any other administration, but I truly hope that that is what plays out. And anybody should be hoping the same, regardless of how they feel about politics, right? It's not about that. It's about the direction we're going. Thank you so much for being here and taking the time to speak with me, Dr. Mikovits. I mean, there's a lot of important things we talked about today, and I hope you'll come back and talk with me soon. Anything else you want to leave for us before you take off?
Oh, I'll absolutely come back and talk with you soon. Thank you for having me back. As we know, lots happened. And as you said, it seems like forever ago, an eternity ago. But I think the most important thing you just said is what I tried to say. You know, this isn't politics. This is 5 to 7 decades. Once we understand the problem, let's design a solution and stop making it about politics, because it really has nothing to do with anything other than our very basic human rights to health, freedom, and the choice of what happens to our bodies and those of our families.
I couldn't agree more. Well, thank you for being here. And everyone out there, as always, question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.
People should not be walking around with masks. You're sure of it? Because people are listening really closely to this.
Right now, people should not be walking. There's no reason to be walking around with a mask.